I greet you, brothers and sisters, in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we read from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through to 19a. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through to 19a. Let us pray together before we read. We thank you, our Lord and our Heavenly Father, for this fellowship that we have with one another, the fellowship that we have with you through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you may be with us and that you may guide each one of us. And, O Lord, as we read from your word, that by your Holy Spirit you will open our hearts, that our hearts may receive your word. You know, O Lord, what we are going through, and you know our different challenges. And we pray that as we read from your word and as your word is being preached, we will also get answers. And also, Lord, we will be comforted, that you will bless us as we do this. Be with us as we do this, and all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It reads as follows, if we all have found it. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his Lord. Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Israel and the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it?" Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. And he came and stood before him, and he said, behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Then Naaman said, if not, please let there be given to your servant 2 mules load of earth, for from now on your servant will not offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any god but the Lord. In this matter, may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there. Leaning on my arm, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter. He said to him, go in peace. Our focus verses are verse 15, 16, and 17. And I will read them again. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him. And he said, behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Then Naaman said, if not, please let there be given to your servant 2 mules load of earth, for from now on your servant will not offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any god but the Lord. We are grateful to God for the salvation which he gave us in Jesus Christ. Our presence here this morning bears the evidence of God's work of continuously revealing himself to us and saving lost souls. That is wonderful and comforting. And as we are gathered here today, we realize that once we were all lost, some of us took pride in our wealth, our status in the communities and the families we are descended from, our positions at work, our ethnicity, race, and languages. Perhaps at some point we convinced ourselves that God does not exist. Maybe we even worshipped false gods and idols. We could even boast about all that I just mentioned. However, none of us can boast about the fact that we are here today, and we are part of God's church, and know the true God, and acknowledge him. That is God's own doing. Our theme today is God reveals himself to us in his sovereignty as the one and only true God who saves, so that we may worship him and praise him. God reveals himself to us in his sovereignty as the one and only true God who saves, so that we may worship him and praise him. In the opening of chapter 5, the victory of Naaman is attributed to God. There is no specific indication of which God it is attributed to. This means it is the only God. Now, leprosy was a very unkind skin disease of which there were different types. Lepers were usually kept outside the community. It seems, though, that Naaman could still be in the community, for though leprosy could be seen on the skin, It started from within. It was seen as punishment, from higher powers. It was understood as a disease that was inflicted by God. If a person were cleansed, their cleansing could only be attributed to a divine power. For instance, look at the king of Israel. He asks, "Am I God?" Syria was a polytheistic nation. They had many gods, and their gods could not cleanse Naaman of his leprosy. The king of Israel tore his clothes, thinking that they wanted to start a war with him. He asked, "Am I God?" implying that this can only be done by God. Now, God reveals himself as the only true God when Naaman is cleansed. Naaman confesses that the God of Israel is the only God and seeks to worship him. Naaman, who thinks of himself, or rather who thought of himself as being great, is not in control of the events of the world and how they unfold. The victory which he thinks came by his own power and might is in fact the victory which God gave to him and the Syrians. The kind slave girl or maid servant who is in Naaman's house is not there by chance, but it is by the sovereign rule of God. The Holy Spirit works in her so that she is not bitter towards her master and her mistress, but she carries out the task which God put her there to execute. God reveals himself to Naaman by saving him, a foreigner, and shaming Israel for his apostasy, or shaming Israel for their apostasy. When we read Romans 8, verse 28, the Bible says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Now, what is clear to us from the text concerning Naaman is that he was a proud man. Usually, when we have more than enough, when we are popular and in power, we become proud. He is introduced as the commander of the king of Syria, a great man, highly favored, a mighty man of valor, and it was through him that Syria gained victory. His wife had an Israelite maidservant. When leaving for Israel, he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. He went to Elisha's house with horses and chariots. When the prophet did not treat him as he had expected, he, being a person of his stature, got angry. He would rather go to the rivers Abana and Pharpa in Syria, which were cleaner and bigger than the Jordan River. He tried to offer the prophet gifts so that he could boast. However, God in his sovereignty humbled Naaman by inflicting leprosy on him. He humbled him by making him go to the despised land of Israel, the people whom he had previously persecuted, to be cured or to be cleansed there. The instruction as to where this great man could be cured came through a mere maid servant. Now, being a man of his stature, and pride, he must have been really desperate that he would listen to the maid servant's advice. When he got to the prophet's house, the prophet did not come out, but made another servant to go to him. After he got angry and refused to go to the Jordan River, he was persuaded by servants to listen to what the prophet had said. Thus, God used sevens in the process of cleansing Naaman. God cleansed him by making him dip himself in the small, dirty, despised Jordan River when he thought he could boast by giving presents, which was usually the norm with the rich and proud. His presents or gifts were rejected, so that his cleansing was a work of God from the beginning to the end. Brothers and sisters, the one and only sovereign God is also our God in Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. He is also at work in our lives just as he was in the lives of the different people in our text. Naaman despised Israel. He despised the Jordan River. The prophet sent a messenger to tell him the easiest thing ever: wash and be cleansed. There are so many who despise the work of the cross. Many say, so I only need to believe in a so-called savior who died as a criminal over 2,000 years ago in order to be saved? This is too good to be true. Now, when all odds are against us and we are in difficult situations, when people oppress and persecute us, we might feel hatred towards them and become bitter. The Israelite girl had been a victim of the Syrians' unkind acts. She had been abducted and was a servant in Naaman's house. And this was God's way in his sovereignty to save Naaman. Even in a foreign land, the Holy Spirit continued to work in this little girl's heart. For we can see that she had not forgotten about the God of Israel. She was not bitter towards her mistress and Naaman. She brought forth the fruit of the Spirit who was at work in her heart by carrying out God's commandment to love her neighbor. The Spirit of God caused her to fulfill this commandment. She treated Naaman and his wife with love. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom, and the Spirit of God gave wisdom to the girl so that she did not approach proud Naaman herself, being a mere maidservant. The people in Israel had forgotten about God. Even the king had forgotten that there was a prophet of God in Israel. But now this maidservant, even though she's in a foreign land, worships the God of Israel. She worships the true God. The Holy Spirit guided and caused her to proclaim the God of Israel, the one and only true God, in the house of a man of great power and pride in Syria. No matter how small, insignificant, unimportant, and unrecognized we may seem and feel in the world as the church, and as individuals, the Holy Spirit resides in us. He guides us and he leads us to worship God by living lives that bring glory to him. When all odds are against us and we experience hate and unkindness in the world, our flesh wants to respond in hatred and unkindness. The Holy Spirit who is within us reminds us that we are children of God and we are children of love. He reminds us that we are the vessels that God uses in his mission to unbelievers and to the unkind world. When we remember the mercy of God upon our lives, we cannot help it but live in gratitude for what He has done for us. And this is possible only through the Holy Spirit. Since the king and the people of Israel had forgotten about God, and it was a period of apostasy, Elisha heard about the king tearing his clothes, and he called Naaman to his house. He did not go out to him so that Naaman might see him, for perhaps he might want to praise Elisha. But Elisha sent a messenger so that after Naaman had been cleansed, he could give credit to God and not to Elisha. The Spirit of God does this work in us. He works in us in such a way that we know that we are vessels and we do not seek our own glory for the work of God, but God's glory. He refused the gifts so that the glory would go to God alone, not to himself or to Naaman for his gifts. We sometimes want to aid our salvation so we can say that we brought something forth. But brothers and sisters, it is entirely the work of God. Naaman, who thought of himself as great, mighty, and powerful, acknowledged the only true God, the Almighty God. After being cleansed, he did not praise the Jordan River. He did not praise the prophet Elisha. Perhaps if it were today, there would be a sticker with Elisha's face in Naaman's house and on his car with the inscription, "The most powerful prophet who ever lived." Alternatively, we would be buying and praising the water from the Jordan River. But the Spirit of God leads him to praise the one and only true God to whom his cleansing can be attributed. Yes, we do thank those through whom God brought his word to us. Yet the ultimate glory and honor for our salvation goes to God. He is worthy and deserving of it and more. Naaman took soil from Israel, since he thought that God could only be worshipped there. He wanted to sacrifice burnt offerings to God. Scripture teaches us that God can be worshipped anywhere. He has given us his Spirit, and by him we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Just like the Israelite girl who, though is in a foreign land, worships the true God. And the only true God is sovereign over the events of the world. He is not only the God of Israel, neither is he only the God of those who acknowledge him. He is God over all that which he created, and so he governs everything. This is a comfort to those who acknowledge God. Despite their situation and position in life, because God is in control. For example, let us look at the Israelite girl. She was not bitter. She knows that she's a vessel in God's hand to bring Naaman to faith. God the Father plans our salvation. In Jesus Christ, he executes it. He applies it in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Elisha does not touch the leper, but has him go to the river, has him go to the river Jordan, where he is cleansed of his leprosy. Since leprosy is contagious, a leper would have to shout unclean if people approached, so that it might not be transmitted. However, in Luke 5, verses 12 to 16, Jesus touches the leper, and the disease is not transmitted, but the leper is cleansed. Naaman is humiliated in a worldly sense so that he may get divine cleansing or healing. And this is a picture of how sinful we are and dead in our sin. Jesus has taken the shame of our sin upon himself. Moreover, through the Holy Spirit, he has given us eternal life so that we may live to honor him. Jesus Christ paid for all our sins when he hung on the cross. We could not offer anything to God in order for our sins to be forgiven, and we still cannot. Praise be to God that the sacrifice of Jesus was enough. Naaman asked for some of Israel's land in order to offer burnt offerings to the God of Israel who had cleansed him. We do not have to bring burnt offerings to the Lord for our salvation. The Apostle Paul in his letter to the church in Rome says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's Romans 12, verse 1. And this is how we are to show gratitude to God for our salvation, as he guides us by his word and his spirit, as to how we can live in gratitude to him. The little girl could pray for her situation to change and to be rescued. But as she is in Naaman's house, she wishes her master, who was cruel to her, well. She wishes her master health. How many times do we ask the question, why me? Those who have cruel seniors at work, those who are persecuted, those who live in unbearable conditions. Sometimes we do not acknowledge or accept that God is sovereign, that he controls the events of the world and those occurring in our individual lives. Let us not wait for more bearable conditions. Let us proclaim the word of God to those around us. Those who are unkind to us. To some we are unable to proclaim the word in words, but we can proclaim in our actions. We do this when we love those we think do not deserve our love, remembering Christ who bore our sins and died on the cross for us when we were not deserving. When we live in gratitude to the grace of God, we honor him by obeying his word and keeping his commandments. We love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Husbands love their wives and speak to them and treat them in love, in honor to God. Wives submit to their husbands as to the Lord. Children honor their parents in the Lord. Sometimes showing gratitude to God for our salvation causes conflict in our families because we have to denounce what they believe and do, which is contrary to the will of God. Gratitude to God calls us to use our money wisely and to share what we have with those who do not have. Let us take a moment and think. Are we living in gratitude to God and what he has done for us? Am I? Are you? Only you can answer that. The biblical truth that there is only one true God is of comfort to those who acknowledge him. God reveals himself to us and gives us life through the Holy Spirit. He makes us new beings, and he makes us his children. As God's children, everything that we do ought to glorify and honor God, since our lives are dedicated to him. The Holy Spirit guides us in glorifying God and serving him. As God's children, the realization of his sovereignty, that he controls the events of the world and of our lives, is a great comfort. This is because for those who love God, all things work together for good. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, our Lord and our Heavenly Father, for your word, for the reading of the word and the preaching of the word. Thank you that you spoke to us, spoke to our hearts, spoke to us as a church, and spoke to us also as individuals. Now, Lord, you call us to understand and to know that you, O God, are sovereign. And that even as we find ourselves in situations, each and every situation, we should know and remember that God is sovereign. When we go through poverty, when we go through persecution, when we go through times which are unkind to us, let us remember that you, O God, are sovereign. There is nothing that you do which will harm us. And there's also nothing that happens without your knowledge or without your approval. You control the events of the world. You control the events of our lives. Pray that, O Lord, we may bring gratitude to you for our salvation. O Lord, you have saved us, and there is nothing that we brought forth. Pray that you will guide us by the Holy Spirit to live in gratitude, to honor you, to love ourselves and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And all this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.